You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Today we're talking about the old Numi Auto Factory in Fremont. When the factory closed 5 years ago, close to 5,000 people lost their jobs. An estimated 20,000 others were also out of work. People who worked for Numi indirectly, making things like cup holders and windshield wipers. This was in the middle of the recession, so finding work wasn't easy. Let's rejoin reporter Angela Johnston.
Sarah Rogers says one of her best Numi memories was a funny little joke she and the Numi team members would play on the tour guests. It went something like this. Rogers would have about a dozen or so people on her tram, and she'd be pointing out these giant, high-tech, frame-building robots.
There's sparks flying, and kids are getting excited. I go, well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a treat for you today. You're the first ones and probably the only ones to see this. We don't have our special robots out on the line because, you know, they're under wraps. You're not supposed to see these. So ladies and gentlemen, please look to your left at Numi's newest robot.
Two of the workers, Willie Brown and Mario Perez, would stop whatever they were doing on the line and start dancing the robot.
Oh my gosh! And it was just so fun to have people react to them, and that was what I wanted people to do. To see, these are human beings. These are not robots. These are real people, and they live in your neighborhood.
When the plant closed, Rogers was devastated, but she knew she'd be okay.
I'm single. I have a dog. I knew that I didn't need much money. I'd already paid off all my bills. I had thought ahead about this.
Still, she couldn't stop thinking about Willie and Mario and the others.
Some people couldn't even use a computer. They didn't have to. But man, they could put those doors on straight. You know, gosh, their paint jobs were excellent. Wow, the doors were, like, shaped perfectly.
And at Numi, they were rewarded for their hard work. They got great benefits. They never had to worry about doctor's fees, job interviews, making resumes. After the factory closed, these people had to deal with all these real human problems. And Rogers was tasked with helping them.
I was just somebody to sit here and try and get people through, you know, some places that they'd never been before.
She and a few other workers were hired as peer counselors by the Alameda County Workforce Investment Board. The county banded together with eight other regions to open rapid response unemployment centers around the Bay Area. These were places where people could sift through job postings, find out where to learn new skills, apply for healthcare programs, talk with counselors. Rogers says, though, that the important work happened outside the center.
We were like 24/7, because when do you get most down? About 9 o'clock at night, laying in bed. Things are rolling around in your head. Oh my gosh, how am I going to make that bill? What am I going to do? Nobody can buy my house. It's underwater. So we were 24/7. We would get calls in the middle of the night. And that's what broke my heart. It's like, that's when real people would come out.
She got calls about overdue mortgages. One man needed a liver transplant and no longer had health insurance. She had to convince people not to spend their $50,000 retention packages overnight. People got those so they wouldn't quit before the factory closed. She'd call pharmacies all over the Bay Area, trying to find the best deals on medications. She'd help people pay their bills.
You'd see families fighting, and so families would get divorced. They thought they could only live and breathe and eat and walk and talk with that income at that place with those people, and then you leave, and there were some suicides. What do you do with that information?
She tried her best. These unemployment programs lasted almost 3 years. 5,381 people enrolled in the Alameda County one. Mario Mendez was one of the first people she saw.
Worked there for 19 years at Numi. before they closed. I started in the body shop, worked night shift, and then went to the line, and then finally moved to conveyance, where you deliver all the parts to the line. That's where my dad used to work.
And his brothers.
Both brothers worked there. I had an uncle that used to work there.
And his daughter.
Cousins, I forgot. The one cousin was even a manager there.
When the plant closed, the very first thing he did was take a little vacation.
I never really took 2 weeks off and, you know, drove cross country. So, seen Mount Rushmore and all kinds of things, you know, on the way there.
When he came back, it was go time. Mendez started taking classes to get some new skills. Like a lot of other NUMMI workers, he got $10,000 from the state for new training.
Learn how to do the computer stuff. Learn how to look up jobs. And all these, I got all these websites like crazy, and I was looking for, you know, trying to find something special. Something at least had the same pay. But there's not that many that had that pay.
And then he started applying for jobs.
I started dropping off all my resumes. And I went all the way to the Oak Ridge Mall, where Sears is. And I went, Sears Automotive. What the hell? I'll drop it off there. I dropped it off there. I went to Target. I go, you know, I work in Target. I don't care. I dropped off resume. I went everywhere in that one day. And I go, okay, I'm going to just keep going further out. And I started going all different directions. Every day I kept starting going further. And I go, you know what? First place it calls, I'm going. I don't care who it is. I'm just going to do it.
A year passed and no one was biting. He was 54 and couldn't retire yet. For Mendez and his family of four, time was running out.
I used every penny of the unemployment for the first time in my life I ever used unemployment. And I was running everything out. We were in the medical COBRA program and that was starting to run out. And I was going, oh, what am I going to do, you know?
One of the reasons he had such a hard time is that it wasn't just NUMMI that was affected. It was all the other businesses. See, the thing is that all around him, this infrastructure had collapsed. Right after NUMMI's closure, there were no other large auto manufacturing plants in the Bay Area. The factories that supported NUMMI, they were gone too.
That was their only account. So when NUMMI shut down, they ended up closing their doors.
That's Bill Brown. He works at a consulting firm called Manex. When NUMMI closed, Brown and his team surveyed 38 businesses and factories in Alameda County to see if they could survive. Most of them worked exclusively for NUMMI. They looked at companies that made
seats or door panels, instrument panels, engines.
They visited each one and checked things off a list.
How are they going to reposition themselves from being a seat manufacturer to something else?
Out of those 38 companies, only four are operating today. Take, for example, Kennerly Spratling, KS Plastics for short. They call themselves an injection molding assembly house. Basically, they make plastic things, and they made plastic car parts for NUMMI.
The most identifiable ones would be like a cup holder and an elbow rest.
Kevin Ahern is the VP of sales. He won't tell me the exact numbers, but he says in the early 2000s, KS Plastics was shipping 7 or 8 truckloads of equipment to NUMMI every single day. Once they knew what was happening with NUMMI, they needed to make some changes.
You do two things. You take your existing customer base and you see what else you can be doing for them. And then number two, you look outside, right? You go find new customers.
They did both. They started making some car parts for plants in the Midwest, and then the company started new contracts. I put on a pair of safety goggles, and Ahern takes me into the factory to show me what they're making now. We walk past huge molds that are getting filled with hot plastic, 700-ton machine. Robots are moving these pieces of plastic up and down. Forklifts are whizzing around. When NUMMI closed, Ahern said it got really quiet in here. You could hear a pin drop. Now it's humming. They're molding plastics for pools and hot tubs, biotech equipment, medical devices, and toys. As we're leaving the factory, we walk past a bin filled with pink plastic toy cars. They're not exactly Toyota Corollas, but a nice nod to the past. KS Plastics is doing well. They've actually expanded in the 5 years since NUMMI's closure, opened another factory nearby. And Ahern tells me they've managed to bring back some of the people they laid off.
75% of the folks that were displaced were brought back, and we could have brought back more of those.
Even with the rehiring, though, there were still people left behind. NUMMI closed during the recession. Just over a year later, the Fremont solar panel factory, Solyndra, unexpectedly filed for bankruptcy and laid off thousands of workers, some of whom had just come from NUMMI. After 3 years and $13 million of funding from the county, only about half of the 5,300 or so people in the unemployment program had new jobs. This is the environment Mario Mendez found himself in almost 2 years after he lost his job at NUMMI.
The last couple of weeks before unemployment ran out, I got desperate.
Finally, he got a call back from a Sears automotive shop.
So I've been there for 3 years now. Work on cars. It's okay. It's not the same, you know. And you get greasy and dirty, and it's not like, you know, NUMMI.
Mendez works 6 days a week for a lot less pay, and he only gets 2 days of vacation a year. But it's work. In fact, he works on some of the cars he made.
You know, I'm doing like oil changes on them too and stuff, and axles, replacing axles. And I was thinking, like, some of the cars that we built, a lot of those cars, they got like 200,000 miles on them. They got a lot of miles because the cars last forever. So it's funny. I just keep working on the same cars that I built or helped build.